love to start up all kinds of old crazy. They may see you out in the casino eating. Hey boy, somebody know where I'm going with that. They may see you out in the casino eating, and they run. You know, I saw Deacon Eli over there in the casino. They'll never mention the fact that he was sitting down eating a good meal, celebrating his wife or somebody's birthday. They're just swift to run to mischief. And then number seven. No. False witness that speaketh lies. That's number six. And boy, look at number seven. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's the one he said is an abomination.
Yeah.
Why do you think he said that's an abomination? There's one person that's supposed to be sowing discord among the brothers, and that's the devil himself. So what he is equating you with, if you are doing that, he's equating you with the devil. Satan. So we have to have disciplined tongues. We got to have disciplined consciences. Somebody said, what do you mean by a disciplined conscience? See, a disciplined conscience is one that will be able to discern both good and evil. Our conscience has to be disciplined. We have to be, and what that tells us is that there should be some spiritual maturity in our lives. We should be at that point in our life, praise God, where we are able to discern between what is good and what is evil. I'll never forget, my little brother came and preached for us a long time ago. Some of y'all gonna remember this. He said that he cautioned people about telling everything that they know, even though some of it might have been true. And he told us what happened in his life. He said he was in a juke joint. Y'all know what I'm talking about, one of them places. And there was a man that was in the back room with another man's wife. And one fellow went up and told that man, don't you know your wife is in the back with this man? And that guy went back there and killed that man. Now, I said all that to say this. Did he make matters better? He didn't kill somebody. Now he's going to jail. So his wife don't have him or the guy. But if a person had a conscience, they had a conscience, be able to discern. It was wrong. But sometimes some things we could hold out. Let me give you a scripture on that. Talking about a disciplined conscience. Put Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Look what, because I say this is all hinging around spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Look what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, for everyone that uses milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Not only should we have, they'll measure us by our disciplined conscience, but they'll measure us by our disciplined purity. We have to be pure. We have to try to keep. We got to strive to keep ourselves pure. Paul, in writing to his spirit.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
You thought I was worth saving.
All right, come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Y'all might as well come on praise Him with us. We've been ready to hear the word,
y'all. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Saving.
So you came.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned.
Yes,
so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. To die. died for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free.
Thank God for Dominique. Amen. Amen. If you think about that, the Lord thought that we were just worth saving.
Just worth saving.
In spite of ourselves. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Well, this isn't Easter yet, but since the Lord's Supper next week, we couldn't have the skit. And so I'm going to take us back a little step before Easter. I've been down this road before, but half y'all forgot it anyway, so you gonna get it this time. Amen. In Luke's gospel, I'm sorry. Chapter number 22. Chapter Luke's gospel. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 22. Yes, sir. And we want to deal with, read verses 39 to 44. All right, I just go on to 46. Right now. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody need a little more time? Say hold on. Amen. All right. Missing reading at verse 39 to say, coming out, he went into the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. For a little while, I want to talk about how to deal with the bitter cups of life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How to deal with the bitter cups of life. Let me begin by saying, thank you, Ursula, that as we approach the Easter Sunday victory, the resurrection of our Lord, just prior to this victory in the Garden of Gethsemane, he gives us an example of how to deal with the bitter cups of life. Because every one of us at one time or another will be confronted with some type of bitter situation. And so the question is, how do we deal with the bitter cups of life? My brothers and sisters, Jesus is our example of how to deal with life's bitter cups. Now our text takes place after Judas had gone out to betray the Lord. After Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and he predicted Peter's denial of him. The text says in verse 39 that Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. And so it is through the windows of Scripture that I caught a glimpse of Jesus as he makes his way to the garden. But, you know, I've seen Jesus in a variety of situations. I've seen him in a variety of settings, but I've never seen the master in this condition as I viewed him this morning through the windows of Scripture. Now, I don't know if you can see him or not, but he seems to be in a tremendous state of distress. Can y'all see him? He seemed to be in a tremendous state of agony. I'm talking about Jesus, who, when folk wanted to throw him off a cliff, he just walked right through them in power. Jesus, who evicted a demon, evicted a legion of demons from a man and allowed them to enter some pigs who committed suicide. Jesus, the one who, during a raging storm, while everybody was fearing for their lives, he was taking a nap. Jesus, who woke up from a deep sleep and rebuked the winds and the waves and said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm. But look at him now. Here we see this same Jesus in a state of distress, in a state of agony. And note we read in verse 44 that that as he prayed to the Father, sweat like drops of blood was falling from his face. And so you wonder, what is it that has the master so distraught and such agony until sweat like drops of blood falls from him to the ground? My brothers and sisters, the text reveals to us in verse number 41 that the master was dealing with a cup. He was struggling with a bitter cup, a cup that is filled with tremendous hardship, agony, and distress. And so from Jesus' experience in the garden with your prayers, I want to talk to you a little while from the subject, how to deal with the bitter cups of life. Now, the reason I want to deal with this topic on how Jesus dealt with his bitter cup is because I don't care how close you may be to the Lord, we all at one time or another will have to deal with a bitter cup. And the cup I'm talking about is the cup are the cups of bitter circumstances, of painful situation and distressing ordeals that each of us will encounter from time to time, because these bitter cups of life are very much a reality. And my brothers and sisters, the cups of life are very real, and we all need to know how to deal with the bitter cups. All the stories I could tell you this morning of the many bitter experiences and the bitter, painful circumstances and the agonizing ordeal that I've had to deal with myself. But I've come to the realization that cups can come in many fashions, meaning our bitter situations and circumstances can come in a variety of forms and fashions. In other words, my cup may differ from your cup, and your cup may differ from mine, but eventually we all would have to deal with a bitter cup. And you know, I believe there may be somebody here and others listening by way of radio who can attest to the fact that the bitter cups of life can sometimes rob you of your ability to sleep. I don't care if you lay down in a bed that is so expensive and comfortable, but in the midst of all that luxury and comfort, you still can't go to sleep because your mind is troubled by some bitter circumstance, some painful experience you're having to deal with, and it causes you to be unable to go to sleep. And let me also say that if you're not careful, the bitter cups can also rob you of your joy. For instance, a person who used to be the life of the party can be robbed of their smile, can be robbed of their joyful personality. They can be robbed of their humor and just set back seemingly lifeless, all because of their encounter with one of life's bitter cups. But now, if you have never encountered a bitter experience or some painful situation, I want you to say like the young folk, brace yourself, because your time is on the way. And so in the text, the chief character and figure is Jesus the Christ, who has been talking to his Father about a cup. He's gone from the holy city into the Garden of Gethsemane. But just look at him, if you will. He walks burdened. He walks heavy laden and burdened down because of a cup. Note the text in verse 39 that he makes his way to the garden, and then his disciples followed him. But then we read in verse 41 again that Jesus withdrew himself from the disciples about a stone's throw away from him, and he knelt down and prayed. Now Peter, James, and John made up his inner circle, but it didn't even take them with him. My brothers and sisters, this lets us say to us this morning that there are some cups that we will have to deal with all by ourselves. I don't know about you, but there have been some cups in my life that I'd have to, had to wrestle with and struggle with. I had to do it all by myself. Because I come to realize that some cups are so personal until you just can't tell everybody about them. Let me ask you, is there anybody here who know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. Have you ever had a bitter cup that was so personal, that was so intimate, that you had to struggle with it and wrestle with it all by yourself? And permit me to tell you that those of us who have been on this side of the river long enough, we are well aware that the bitter cups of life are a reality. We're well aware of the fact that we will all have to deal with a bitter situation. Because, like it or not, we all have to deal with one time or another with some bitter situations, some painful circumstances, as well as some disturbing things that will come into our lives. Yes. And guess what? Many times these things can cause us to break down and cry. Yes. They can make the strongest of us shed some tears. Now, I don't guess I'm in here by myself, so let me ask you, is there anybody in the house this morning beside me that had some bitter cup that made you break down and cry? Have you ever had, yes, Lord, some bitter cup that broke your heart, that wounded your spirit? I'm talking about some bitter situations and circumstances that caused you to cry out like Jesus in the garden, saying, Lord, take this bitter cup from me. But you know, in seeing how the master dealt with his cup, I've come to realize that not only will we have to deal with bitter cups in our lives, but it's good to know how to handle them. So the question is, not will we have to deal with bitter cups, but the thing is, how, when they come, do we deal with them? And so Jesus is our answer, and he's our greatest example in dealing with life's bitter cups. My brothers and sisters, Jesus, took his cup to his Father in prayer. Note, if you will, that in agony, Jesus makes his request. He said, Father, if it's your will, he said, let this cup pass from me. Well, but why did Jesus make this request? Well, he did it because of what was in that bitter cup. In that cup was betrayal and rejection. In that cup was suffering. In that cup was pain, shame, thirst, and fatigue. In that cup was your sins and my sins, as well as the sins of the world. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sins for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. But even more, in that cup was the abandonment of the Father. Because God the Father would turn his back on his Son when he took on our sins out there on Calvary's Hill. Now, but also when Jesus petitioned the Father to let the cup pass from him, he was expressing the natural human desire to avoid pain and suffering. In other words, Jesus in the flesh was fully human, but he was also fully God. And so his human nature, though perfect, still struggled with the need to accept the torture and shame that awaited him. And so in prayer, he said, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was battling the flesh and its desire for self-preservation and comfort. And all my brothers and sisters, the struggle was intense. It was so intense that Jesus became overwhelmed. But now this said to me that there will be some cups that you and I will have to bear, some cups that we will have to deal with. In other words, there are some cups as unpleasant as they are that we will all have to cope with, because the Lord won't remove every bitter cup. He won't take away every bit of situation. Now, but you know, I've learned that if he doesn't take it away, he'll give you strength. He'll give you power to cope with it. And so how do we deal with life with a cup? Well, Jesus, who is our example, dealt with his cup first through prayer. That's why we ought to realize the importance of prayer, because prayer will do at least two things. Prayer prepares, and prayer also repairs. Now, prayer prepares us by getting us ready for stuff that we haven't even had to deal with yet. It gets us ready and equips us for stuff that we haven't even confronted yet. Prayer also repairs by strengthening us, by fortifying us, so that when the stuff comes, we'll have the strength to deal with it. But not only did Jesus deal with his bitter cup through prayer, but in spite of the agony of dealing with the cup, Jesus yielded himself to the Father's will. Because he goes on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, Father, I'm asking you to remove this cup from me. But if you choose not to remove it, I'm yielding myself to your will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Here Jesus shows us to deal with the bitter cups in life, we must not only pray, but we must also be able to yield ourselves to the Father's will. And so Jesus says, in essence, Father is hurting. Father is strengthening me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I wish this bitter cup could be taken away. I wish it would no longer be a burden to my spirit. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, this said to everybody who wants God to remove every cup in your life, that there are something God requires us to endure. There's something that God requires us to go through. Well, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, it says, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. And so I come to realize if I just would yield myself to the Lord's will, he promised to be right there with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that if I yield myself to his will, it may be painful, but he's always, his will is always best for my life. And so Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And the record says that the Father dispatched an angel from heaven. In other words, an angel winged his way to the garden, to Jesus' location. And the words say that the angel strengthened him. The angel provided support for Jesus in his time of distress. Yes, with strength that Jesus needed to endure. I remember an old song we used to sing that said, all night and all day, angels keep watching over me. All night and all day, his angels keep watching over me, my Lord. And all my brothers and sisters, if you're going through something this morning and you feel like you can't go any further, why don't you just turn it over to Jesus and he'll make it right. If you turn it over to Jesus, some angels are coming and they're coming to strengthen you. Some angels are coming, they're coming to help you. Look at somebody and tell them, hold on, just a little while longer, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I tell you, some angels are coming to your rescue. Now, you can't see them, but they're right there. You can't see them, but they're there to give you some help. And so as I try to move to the close, the text says that Jesus fell to the ground.